So our scripture this morning is from Ephesians. It's chapter 4, verses 1 through 16. I, therefore, prisoner for the Lord, urge you to walk in a manner worthy of the calling to which you've been called, with all humility and gentleness, with patience, bearing with one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, just as you were called to the one hope that belongs to your call, one Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and the Father of all, who is over all and through all and in all. But grace was given to each one of us according to the measure of our Christ's gifts. Therefore, it says, when he ascended on high, he led a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men, in saying he ascended. What does it mean? But he had also descended into the lower regions, the earth. He who descended is the one who also ascended far above the heavens, for he might fill all things. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and the teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for building up the body of Christ. Until we attain the unity of faith and the knowledge of the Son of God to mature manhood, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed to and fro by the waves and carried about by every wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by crafts and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ, from whom the whole body joined and held together by every joint with which is it equipped. When each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. And so I titled this What We Learn, and so I've divided this first part into four different things that I think we learn from the scripture. And I think the first part is we can learn is humility. Now, I was around my two grand boys yesterday, and the two-year-old I spent the most time with, because right now he thinks grandpa's great. Well, I don't know why. I think it's the hair. I'm just not sure. But he is so proud of anything that he does, and he will smile and tell you about it. And so when you're real young, you don't have that humility that you grow into as you get older. Now, sometimes I think people don't really grow into humility as they get older. But what this is really saying is, no matter who we are, no matter where you're at in life, we should all feel pretty humbled when we think how lucky we are to have the Lord and Savior in our lives. That's the humbleness that should come through us. The other thing he talks about in this scripture is meekness. Now, we think of meekness as a negative. We kind of say, oh, it means that we'll just get run over by people because we won't stand up for ourselves. And 2,000 years ago, that was not what meekness meant. Meekness meant the ability to know just when the right time to be angry is. So again, back to the grandsons last night. The six-year-old had gone to a friend's house. He played all day. He doesn't really need a nap, but sometimes if he has a big day, he needs a little bit of a nap. Let's just say when we got him home at about 7 o'clock, he was grumpy, okay? He didn't need a bath. He didn't want supper. There was a lot of didn't need stuff. And so the question was, at what point in time do you just tell him, okay, I'm done. I'm just done listening to you tonight. And so it's that ability to just be the right amount of anger so that you don't go over the line, but yet you guide him in a way. And to me, that's kind of what we're trying to do with meekness. It's the ability to see a situation and know when it's okay to be angry and when it's okay to guide. And for him last night, he was too tired to be angry with. We were just trying to guide him. So the other thing that we can learn in this is about long-suffering, which I really think is more about never giving up. That no matter what's going on, to never give up. So every Sunday, I pray for the end of the violence that we see around the world. And based on what you see in the news and the newspaper, I still read a real newspaper, but you can do an online version or whatever. It doesn't seem like that violence is getting better. But yet I have faith in the Lord that he'll find a way to change those people that harm each other and do that. And I have patience at the same time to let that work out. Because what we do a lot of times is we see a problem and we said, oh, I can fix that and I'll do whatever it is. And we don't really fix the problem. We just do something. And sometimes it's easier to do something than to pray and let God work through it and make it happen. And the last two things on this that I think he talks about in this scripture, one is love, which if you do love, then the anger part takes care of itself. Being humble takes care of itself. When I use the example of the violence in the world, if people love each other, you can't harm people the way they do. And then the last thing was peace. Now I always think of peace, especially at Christmas time. You get a lot of Christmas songs that have peace in them. And Joyce is questioning one of my hymns for tonight because it's a Christmas song. Which one did I pick? I forget. She forgets too. Well, interesting tonight when she plays it. But I picked a Christmas song, and the reason I picked it was it talks about peace. And I think a lot of times when we read peace, especially at Christmas time, we think about peace in the world, that everything's going to be peaceful. And I think it's more about us being peaceful, that it's a peace that we can find in our own lives. And so I don't care who you are, there's stuff that goes wrong in the world. So yesterday, I was a banker, okay? I am not an electrician. And my wife says to me, the switch on my light's not working. Can you fix it? Yeah. About an hour later, it's all back together now. I've got to tighten up the screw at the bottom, but I got it done. And I only blew the circuit in the house the first time I wired it up wrong. And I knew as soon as I turned it on and I heard that click, I said, all the lights are on in here. She goes, nothing's on in this living room. Okay. So we unplugged it because that probably seemed like that was an indication, even as a non-electrician, I was pretty sure I'd wired that lamp wrong, okay? So I unplugged it, I took it apart again, and I looked at the old one, and I looked at the new one, and they're different. So then I do what young people do, I looked it up on YouTube on how to do it. And that guy was totally worthless, let me just tell you. Any of the three of them didn't help me a bit. And I finally figured out the old light was so old that the socket changes the way it grounds. And I said, well, we'll just change this wire to this one. But I didn't put it together this time. I turned it on with it all apart, and it worked. Then I put it together, and it didn't work, so I got to take it apart one more time. But when you do stuff like that, it can be so aggravating because, A, I don't know exactly what I'm supposed to be doing. And the other thing is I just want it to work. It's light, it's not brain surgery, right? Okay? And so that question is, can you stay calm or do you have like a conniption? My mom would always say a conniption fit. Do you have a conniption fit somewhere along the line because you can't stay at peace with yourself? Well, that's what we're trying to do all the time. Those things that go on, which this light thing wasn't really a big deal, although I did think about one time of accidentally dropping it and it would break and I didn't have to mess with it, but it was only a brief thought. It wasn't something I carried on. But you have to find a way for stuff that goes wrong in our life to have peace, whatever that is and however that works. Well, then the other part of this scripture is, do we recognize who's in charge of our lives or do we not recognize who's in charge of our lives? And so for us, Christ is what we should be looking towards. And we as the church, whether it's we as the local church or we as the big church, we do the body work. And so it's important for us to remember that there's one Spirit in the world. And that Holy Spirit can work through us if we're open to that movement. We have one hope, however God's called us to help in the world, in other people's lives. We have one Lord. We have one faith. Our faith is in Jesus Christ. God sent his Son for us. And so our faith is in Jesus. And then baptism in here, and when I say baptism here, I'm not talking about literally being baptized, but think of it more in terms of a conversion of faith. So in this time of Ephesians, people hadn't been Christian. They were either Jewish or something else, And so for them, the baptism, the physical baptism, symbolized their confession of faith from whatever they believed in before into a belief of Christianity. We don't think of it that way. And I just want to point that out. So as you read it, that's the way you think of it. And most of all, we believe in one God. Now for us, that's kind of easy because we think of just there being one God. 2,000 years ago, every community practically had their own God. Now the question I would bring out now is, do we make God God or do we try to put other things in the way? So if every Sunday just becomes about watching football from whenever it starts, 1 to 8 or 9 o'clock at 10 or 11, whenever it ends at night, did we make football God? Or do we make whatever thing we do God and not let God be God? That we get confused on where we're supposed to be. And the last couple Sundays, I've said, do we go to the Lord in prayer only when we need Him? We need something because we're sick, we're injured, we're worried about something. Or do we make God in our lives all the time? Do we go to the Lord in prayer whenever something's needed? And so we're going to sing another hymn now, and then we're going to begin communion. And as we do that, think about where God is in your lives now and where you want Him to be. So this communion is going to be a little different than I've done in the past, and when I need you guys to join me, I'll bring you back in. So let us begin. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up to the Lord.
Let us give our thanks and praise.
It is right and good to give our thanks and praise.
Father, we're grateful that you send your Holy Spirit with us, never leaving us alone, no matter where we're at, whether home or at work, whether we're traveling, we are never alone. We ask that you be with this fellowship of believers. Let us be the body and the community of your church as we are guided and directed by how you want us to be led, to go into your world, to bring others to know and to love you. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and give an unending hymn. And God's people said,
Holy, 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 Lord God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest.
Father, we can never thank you enough. If we said thank yous from now to the end of our lives, it would not be enough for all that you do for us each and every day. The things that we take for granted that we don't notice because they're just there. The grace that you give us that is so undeserved for the way we often act, not only with loved ones, but people we've never met, with the way we treat ourselves sometimes. We are often too hard on ourselves and don't recognize how fortunate we are to be in your family, to allow you into our lives. You seek us out and seek us out, but so often we never let you in, or we only let you in at a distance. We ask that you remember these mighty acts that you bring to the world through Jesus Christ. We offer ourselves as a praise and thanksgiving, as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with your offering that you gave us through Jesus Christ. As we proclaim the mystery of faith, Christ has died, Christ has risen, Christ will come again. Father, as we go into your world, let us be led by your Holy Spirit, guiding and directing us in all we say and do. Let us be able to overcome anger. Let us be able to overcome those things that interfere in a really wonderful, open, loving relationship that we may have with you if we're just willing to open our hearts and our minds to your Spirit. As we end this time of communion, we want to remember that all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. And God's people said, Amen. Amen. This bread represents his body given for us. Father, be with all of us as we go into your world. Let everyone who sees us see your love and grace shine upon all the things we do, whether it's our face, the deeds that you direct us and guide us to do for others in your world. In your gracious name we pray. Amen.